At the back?
Yes.
It's okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. Let's commit the time to the Lord first. Dear Lord Jesus, we give thanks to you, Lord, what a wonderful time we have at your table. Lord, that your presence are with us. Lord, we have that communion, we have that fellowship with our Lord Jesus, and through him with our Heavenly Father. Lord, we do, as we come to this time of word ministry, Lord, may it be that, Lord, it's really you are speaking to us, Lord, through these unworthy vessels. Lord, we do want to pray, Lord, that you would really open your heart to us, the burdens you put in my heart that can be release, can be spoken clearly, can be understood. So we do want to bring this hour back to you, Lord, and ask you, Lord, to bless us with your presence. Lord, give us, open our eyes, Lord, help us to see your glory. Give us that open heavens. We want to see Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank the Lord. I don't remember when I speak last time, but it might be a while. I'm really encouraged what Jerry said. We do need eternity to come to know the Lord. It's just amazing. But the Lord Jesus, through the revelation to John at the end of the book of Revelations, he gave us a preview of the eternities. You know, it's I don't know how you all feel. It's I'm catching up with Jerry. When I'm getting older, somehow the heart is I want to know about eternity. It's not a matter of curiosities, but truly is what is in God's heart for us all. Eternity. You know, God is an eternal God. He's the same. He never changed. But yet, we are created for eternity on one hand. But we do thank the Lord that he leaves us on earth. So we are in this time. And God created time really to perfect us, to prepare us. So that when eternity arrives, we are fitted to live in eternities. Okay. So it's sometimes I just wonder. It's when we think about eternity, you know, it's we know that that's the Lord has to come first, right? It's we sing that song Maranatha. It's at the end of Revelation, the Lord said, I'm coming quickly. And let's bear that in our heart, he's coming quickly. And after that, that's the 1,000-year kingdom. Right? It's God and his people rule over this world. And then only after that, that's eternities. I want to share a little bit, say small portions, really one verse or maybe half verse that's given to John the Apostle in Revelation chapter 21. It's let me read this verse to you first. Revelation chapter 21 verse 3. I'm going to first read that from the New American Standard. Translations, and he said, and I heard a voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. Now that's the New American Standard versions. Well, we know the word tabernacle. It's as we get into modern time, it might have a different meanings than how it was used in the older time. I call it old-fashioned English, right? It's when we think about tabernacle, we think about a tent. A tent is just a temporary structure that can be put up, taken down, and can be moved easy and quickly. But maybe that's today's definitions. But if you look at the older, I call it old-fashioned English, the old-fashioned way, tabernacle really means a dwelling place, habitations, a place to wish to live, a house, and a home, So tabernacle, I'm sure we have the term in the Old Testament, it's really a home. Think about it. Think about that in terms of home when we read Revelation 21, verse 3. And then, as we read before, that it's, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. And then they said, God will dwell among men. Now, this word dwell, it's a word. Tabernacle is a noun. They're actually from the same roots in Greek. So what dwell means, it means to abide. I think we've heard of that from, we know abide, dwell, and to be at home, right? That's the word forms. So when we go to the Bible translations, when you replace those words with the older meanings of the word itself, I am impressed. I hope we all are impressed what the Word of God says. There are two translations actually translate tabernacle to home. It's let me just read one version. And this is a translation from Phillips New Testament translations. He said, "Then I heard a great voice from the throne crying, 'See, the home of God is with man. The home of God is with man. And he will dwell among them. He will live among them.'" That's just the word that's used. "He will live among them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them." Now, I think we have a taste of, at least we, in our everyday life, we would know what a home is. What's he mean by living among them, right? So it's really this matter of the home of God. The home of God is with man. That's Revelation 21, verse 3. And also, he will live among them. This face, these two faces. Now, we really should read this very carefully because sometimes we often have a thought that the home of God, can we make home, can we build a home for God? Can we offer God a home? That's not the case here. Well, we know that God does not live in things are built by human hands, right? So what is the home of God? It's we'll share a little bit later on, but I do want to say that the home of God is a person, the Lord Jesus. When you come to the New Testament, that's what you point to, the home of God. So here we have the translation become the home of God is with man, means if we are at home with God, then we are also, no, if we are at home with his son, then we are also at home with God, right? That's what it means. And then the second half here is he will dwell among them. God will dwell, God, I use the old word here. God will live among them, right? It's that living relationship. It's this matter of union in life with the Lord himself, with his son, that God will live among us. Okay. So I sense that's the meaning of that verse. It's so what God after is that in the time we are in on earth is we would have a living, loving, intimate relationship with his son. Okay. Now you may say, well, now I already said that. Should I just sit down? It's what's the burden, right? It's we might know all these. It's this may not be anything new to us. Actually, it's the whole the world ministry today. I have to say that you can say I heard that before. It's it might be nothing new. I just pray to the Lord that it's, he will speak afresh to us. Now, what's the burden? So why I sense the Lord Jesus want me to really share on this matter of the home of God is with man? I think that's, I don't know how you think about it. It's I just want to ask two questions, very similar questions. It's we all know the first coming of the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus. Do you think God was at home with his people at the time of the coming of Jesus? We know that at that time, it's as Joe mentioned, it's God's people, his people, the Israelites. So God has his people. And God has his temple, too, in Jerusalem. But yet, we have these words from John chapter 1, verse 11, that says, he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. Would that be, I mean, that's, on one hand, God has his people. God has his, well, let's call it his house, his temple. But yet was not at home with him. It's very simple. That's what the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 11 said. So what's the conditions of God's people at that time? We have to conclude that because they are not at home with Jesus, they are not at home with God. Now, fast forwards. The second question is like the first question, right? It's you say, oh, that's 2,000 years ago. That has something to do with Israelites. What about us? We really have to, I hope the Lord asks those questions, so we have to be honest, actually. I think we all hear what ministry, those seven letters, in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. You know what the last letter to the church at Laodicea said? Revelation 3:20. It's the Lord said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door. Now, we have to, the Lord said that, right? Where was the Lord Jesus? He has his people. He has the believers. He has the churches. But where is the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus was outside, knocking at the door. It's 2,000 years has passed. Are we not in the same way today? Where is the Lord Jesus? Do we put him outside the door? That could be the condition today. Now, if we as believers not at home with Jesus, or Jesus not at home with us, then God is not at home with us too. Right? That's really the burden for today. It's consider on this matter of the home of God. It's and the question comes down to where are we, It's you know that God or the Lord Himself is only satisfied when the home of God is with His people. When that becomes reality, then the heart of God satisfied. So, you know, it's we are not like the time when Jesus came the first time. Now today, we have no excuse. The Lord gave us the Holy Spirit, and that will show us our conditions. No excuse. So it's I would say let us repent if there's a big gap, a giant gap between our conditions and what God is after. Okay. I think we need to be in this. We need to be clear. What it mean by the home of God is with man? It's I would like to spend some time going through from well. It's don't spend a lot of time actually. We can look at the heart of God from Genesis all the way to the end of Revelation, and we see that heart never changed. God wants His home, the home of God. God wants His home to be with man. Now, I also want to point out one thing is one thing we need to realize is there is Old Testaments or the Old Covenants, and there's the New Testaments. Now, it's in the book of Hebrew, you mentioned that what was in the Old Testaments, they are shadows. So we have to take what is recorded in the Old Testament as shadows. Because it's a reflections of the reality that come in the New Testament. Right? It's and we have to bear that in our mind when we look at the stories, look at the Old Testaments. And we come to realize how much better we are today. When we think about the time, the Israelites, as Joe mentioned, that in those times when God took them out from Egypt and they become God's people, and how much better, how much more blessed we are today with the Holy Spirit take home in our heart. So that's the first that's first sessions. And then we want to fellowship on a little bit. I think that's from John chapter 15. It's Brother Lenny Amado shared that a couple of weeks ago. It's the Lord said, "I am the true wine." Is that the wine and the branches, the relationship? This matter abide. Abide in me and I abide in you, right? That's a relationship with the Lord Himself. Now here's the word abide. Abide means dwell, right? It's the word. And also made home. So you see the connection there. And it's really in terms in this matter of abiding, in this matter of the branch and the wine and the branch are one in life that bring us into really bring us into at home with the Lord Himself. So that's that would be a short session to sharing on that. And then number three is we really want to look at examples rather than just something just words. I think there's I won't say perfect, but there is an illustration from the Bible at Jesus' time that show us that Jesus was at home. Okay, remember that when Jesus come, I already mentioned that from John, His people did not receive Him, but there is one family who received Him. I guess you all know who that family is. It's a family in Bethany. Right? It's Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. So we'll spend some time on that and see how in that interactions, how Jesus was at home with them. And of course, the flip side is they're also at home with Jesus. Okay, so those are three things, and then there's a short conclusions. First thing first, God's desire to be at home with man. It's the thing about it. In the creations, when we go back to Genesis chapter 2, when men are created, God put man in the Garden of Eden, right? In that garden that have all kinds of trees. So the physical needs are met, I mean, as far as Adam is concerned. It's and then God come, we know that in Genesis 3, verse 8, God came in the cool of the day, talked to Adam. It's he took the animals to Adam, and Adam named them one by one, give them names. And God sensed that something's unsettled in Adam's heart because he saw the animal pair by come in pairs, but yet Adam himself did not have a helmet. Okay, so. So God actually, out from Adam, made a helpmate for him, and that's Eve. It's so they are at the Garden of Eden. They are in there. They have the trees. It's and then in the middle of the garden, there's the tree of life. God is hinting to Adam and Eve, say, eat that tree of life. It's right there in the middle garden. Of course, it's you may say that's a tree, but it's really like God saying to Adam and Eve. Now, not only that, I want to fellowship with you in physical terms, in the natural way, but eat that tree, have that life, so we could have a life union together. So we could live in that higher life, that relationship between God and man. So we even see at the beginnings, creating Adam, making Eve, this matter of God's home among man is already there. We see the hints. Then God took. We know the story of the Israelites. It's the descendant of Abraham because famines in the land, they went to Egypt and they multiply. It's amazing. And then God said, I want to take them out. God not only say that to take them out, God even say, they are my people. Can you imagine that? My people, God's people, they are not any people in this world. They took the descendant of Israel, they took the Israelite from Egypt as his people. And then we come to Exodus 25. Moses went up to the mountain and God gave Moses the instruction to build a tabernacle for him. Very detailed instructions. Every curtains, every furniture in the tabernacle, God gave precise instruction to Moses. What's the reason for that? Because the tabernacle itself is a shadow. And I will come to that. So the word to Moses is Exodus 25, verse 8, and you read, let them construct a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell among them. You see, that's God. It's at that time, the Israelites, the descendants of Abraham, were in Egypt. God expressed his heart. He wanted a people. He chose a people. He took them out from Egypt. And he told them, build me a sanctuary so that I may dwell among them. or I may live among them. So that's, again, that's right there is the heart of God. He wants to dwell among his people. Now, we all have to remember, these are shadows, right? These are not the final story. These are shadows. You know, it's wonderful. It's after the tabernacle was constructed, it's what happened is in Exodus chapter 40, verse 34, it said that the glory of God filled the tabernacle. It's even though it's a man-made structure, but the glory of God filled it. You know, a brother shared with us the meaning of the glory of God is when God's heart, when things are goes the way that God wants, God saw his glory. It's right here. It's even the tabernacle itself, very limited, is a shadow. God saw forth his glory. God's heart was satisfied. Now, those are, of course, we are going to go in the temple built by Solomon, which I don't want to go into. But then when you come to the New Testament, right, it's, as I mentioned, that shadows. Shadow and reality is, that's a transition between the old and the new. It's, we have this verse from John chapter 2, verse 19. Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Destroy these temples. So, what's the temple of God? It's not in that building, in the center of Jerusalem. Right? That's that transition right there. The temple of God is Christ himself. It's, Where is God dwell? Yeah, where's the home of God? We have to ask. The home of God is Christ. It's a person. It's not a physical building. I hope we come to realize it. It's not something physical. It's not something natural. It's something spirit. It's the Lord himself, the persons. Now it's the story didn't end there. It's later on. I want to go back a little bit on this matter of my people. It's so significant. I thought about the opening today. It's if you do a search on the Bible and say search for my people in the Old Testament, you will find 173 occurrences. Okay. And they all refer to the Israelites. Now it's now we understand how important is the Israelites to the heart of God. So this matter, my people, it's and then in the New Testament, it's who is that my people is expanded. I think it's just wonderful. You will ask a question. We are all, well, I think we are all Gentiles. I'm not quite sure. I don't know whether we have, any one of us have the Jewish, maybe someone. but anyway, both of us are Gentiles. But do you know that? It's as believers, God called us his people. Is that wonderful? It's because from Peter ministry, it's 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 10, he said of the believer, and he said, for you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. What a wonderful blessing that is. Believer could be included in that we are God's people. So We are in the New Testament now, right? We are God's people. Let's settle that in our hearts. God loves us. God loves us, let me say it, as much as he loved the Israelites. But there's more than that. It's in the Old Testament, my people is, well, it's in a natural way, God's people. But in New Testament, you find a term that say, in Christ Jesus, or in Christ Jesus, in him, in the Lord. It's, we are not only his people, God put us in Christ Jesus. That's much closer than the Israelite, the relationship between the Israelites and God, right? They have that physical, external relationship, but yet today, we are God's people. We are actually in Christ Jesus. He put us in Christ Jesus. That relationship, that close relationship. Again, if you do a word search on in Christ Jesus, in him, it's more than 100 times in the New Testament. So that's where we are. That's where our position is, in Christ Jesus. So we talk about people, we talk about in Christ, because that's a new position from the Old Testament. How about this matter of temple or sanctuary? It's in the Old Testament, you know, the sanctuary, the temple, the tabernacle, they are physical things, right? It's they are building on earth. It's but yet in the New Testament, in the New Testament, that's a change. And we find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. It's the second half of the word that said, "For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Now that's talking to us. We are the temple of living gods. You know, that's in present tense. It's not we will be, it's now. We are. We are the temple of living gods. God in Christ dwells in us, right? That's the way to look at it. So as long as we are at home with Christ, we shall be at home with God himself. Let's look at the second half of this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. He said, "I will dwell in them, I will live in them, I will abide in them." It's just think about this. Who are we? We are sinners saved by his grace. But yet God in Christ desire to be at home with us. What love there is, he loves us. What love there is toward his people, toward the believers. I will walk among them. I hope that would bring us back to the story in Genesis. You know, that's God walk in the cool of the afternoon. God walk in the midst of the Garden of Eden, the paradise records. They're walking, the living. Of course, we are better than Adam and Eve at that time because they have not eat the tree of life, and we have Christ's life in us. So God walk among us. In a sense, really means we have that union life with the Lord himself. He's able to live in us, and he walk among us. And then he said, "I will be their God." You can remember that it's in the Old Testaments, only the Israelites, only God. God is the God of the Israelites, right? His people. But now that God is standard to us. God is our God. It's God become the God of all those who believe, who are in Christ Jesus. And then you end with, they shall be my pupil. My pupil. God's pupil. Lord, what a mercy and grace that is. In the Old Testament, that's our rich. Unless you are Jews, right? His pupil is the Israelites. But now that got extended to us, we are God's pupil. So it's, I think in this section, when we think about God's at home, God live among his pupil, especially in New Testaments, in our days, how blessed we are to have God, to have our Lord himself, how blessed we are that we can abide in him, he abide in us, we could have that union life with him, and we become, we are his pupil, and his God is our God. It's in what he said in the Old Testament when he commanded Moses to construct a sanctuary so that God may dwell among them, that being realized today. Among his believers, he dwells, we dwell in Christ, and God in Christ dwells among us, and he lives among us. It's that's on one hand you can say that's our position, but God wants us to be the reality. I want to spend a little bit of time on this matter of what would be a pupil that are home with God. Right, that's it's. I have three things. It's the first one is really from John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5. So John chapter 15, from 1 to 17, is that the Lord Jesus said, "I am the true vine," and you can read all the way to 17. But I just want to say something about verse 4 and 5. Verse 4 said, "Abide in me, and I in you." Now, to translate that, it really means made home in the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus also made home in us. Verse 5 said, "I am the vine, you are the branches." What's that speaking to us? You know, vine and branches are together. You can remember, you cannot separate them. They are one. They are one. They actually are one life. It speaks of the life, the union life between the Lord Jesus and ourselves. We only can abide, we only can make home in God when we are at home with our Lord himself. So what would we say that we want to be home with God? It really means, you refer to a people, to believers that are in union with God's Son. No more and no less. I think it's become much more clear when we look at, let me just read you one verse in Revelation 21, verse 22. You said, that's in eternity now. You said, "I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty and the Lamb are his temple." So in eternity, what do you see? Well, what do John see? Let's put it that way. You know, John is the disciple John is a Jew. He knew about the temple. Would that be a surprise to him when God gave him that vision of eternity? John naturally asked, "Where's the temple?" But there's no temple. There's no temple there. John saw no temple in it. For the Lord God, the Almighty, and the lambs are his temple. So at the end, not at the end, at the beginning, at the beginning of eternity, it's what do we see there? No temple, no physical temple. But yet we see God, the Almighty. We see the Lamb, and we see God's people, the bride. You say the bride and the wife of the Lamb together at home, eternity. Now, see the pictures. It's God's people are in perfect unions with His Son. And God's people are perfect, are perfectly at home with God. That's what John saw, and that should be something we, something that should be revealed to our heart, because we are talking about eternity. And sometimes I think eternity is so far away. They are not. Eternity is right at the corner. It's very important to know. It's because when God saw us the eternity, what's that going to do in our hearts is we have a goal, we have a purpose. We have something to press forward to satisfy God's hearts. Now, I also want to mention that even though it's eternity, it also should be now, right? I think that's the reality. That's what God wants us to be. To be at home with Him, with the Lamb, and God's people together. Perfect union of His Son. Now, it's a people who are in union with God's Son. What do they have? I think that would be an interesting question. If you go back to Old Testaments, we know the construction of the tabernacle. That is the holy place, and that's the Holy of Holies. We know there's a curtain divided into the two. We know in the Holy of Holies, there is the Ark of Covenants, and there's mercy seats, and there's two chaplains. I only know from the Bible that Moses have special access, because the Bible said God talked to Moses about the mercy seat. So in there, you can remember, there's no natural light too. All it has is the glory of God and His presence. But that access into the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament time, it's limited. It's once a year. The high priest with blood enter into it, right? The Day of Atonement, once a year, and not available to everyone, not available to all his people in the Old Testament. But that change in our time, when we have the life union with the Lord Himself. We know what happens when the Lord gave up His Spirit to God at the cross. The veil was torn. The veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. And the book of Hebrews take that in and say, that's an open way. The Lord Jesus gave us that open way into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God, onto that mercy seat with the blood of Jesus, right? So in the Old Testament, it's once a year for the high priest. Now in our time, when we live a life of life union with the Lord Himself, we have the access to the Father, unlimited, any times in the Spirit, access to His presence, the presence of God. So I think that's really wonderful. It's for us in the New Testament, for believers, to have access to God, to His presence. It's another thing that really marked us to be different is on this matter of glory of God. It's again, go back to the Old Testament, the glory of God fill the temple, fill the tabernacle. We talk about that in occasions, right? But yet, in the New Testament, it's different. It's where we do. It's no longer something physical, but it's something spiritual. It's something what you stand for in terms of full of the glory of God. It stands for that God's heart is satisfied. And God's heart is everything is according to the mind of God. Then there is the glory of God. So it's. In the Old Testament, it was limited. In the New Testament, well, we know His Son, our Lord Himself. He's the one that satisfies God's heart. He's the one with the glory of God, right? And any time, because we are life union with the Lord Himself, we also come into that glory of God. We also have a way to satisfy God's hearts. So a pupil. Let me sum it up. A pupil who are life union with the Lord Himself. There is glory, because the glory is not their glory. The glory is the glory of the Lord Himself, right? So that gives us that essence of the people of God who are union with Christ, or who are at home with Christ, or who are at home with God. Three things, let me sum it up. Life union with the Lord Himself, access, unlimited access to God's presence, and have that ability to satisfy God's heart in Christ Jesus. I think those are what mercy God has for us. When you think about who are we are believers, sinners saved by His grace, and He truly allow us to enter into that life union with the Lord Himself. And that's the heart. That's the heart of God. Now we have to go to examples. I think I try to. Well, I don't know where I about it. Let's see how far we get. It's the story of the family Mary, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. As I mentioned before, it's at the time of Jesus, when He came first time, in His first coming, He come to the world, He come to His people. His people did not welcome Him. You know, it's the Lord Himself, even though He's the Emmanuel, God with man, He was born in a manger, a lowly place. And the Bible said, there's no room in the inn. I'm not quite sure, you know, when you hear that word, when you hear the word, no room in the inn for God, for the Emmanuel, God with us, that God, but there's no room in the inn. It's... And then we also read in the gospel that what the temple becomes. You know, it's the Lord Himself cleansed the temple twice, because that's in there people turn the temple into a place of business. So he overturned the money changers and the table that sell dove, even though that's for people's convenience, but that's not for the house of God. He's the Son of God. Remember, He come, but the temple is no longer the house of God. The Lord Himself has no place to stay. Actually, and one more thing about that is, in the last week, the Passion Week, we call the week of suffering. It's the Gospel Luke tell us in his Gospel that the Lord Jesus did not stay in Jerusalem. He was there during daytime, but he left. He had to go someplace else because that city did not welcome him. He has no place. He's no place there. So with that background, let's think about this family in Bethany, right? It's covered in Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. I give you the reference verse. And then in the John's Gospel, we have John 11 from verse 1 to 44. We are not going to read all those verses. The raise of Lazarus from the dead. And then we have John chapter 12, regarding to Mary and Lord the Lord himself. Okay, I would quickly go through that, maybe not in any detail, just to show that with the background of God's people did not welcome the Lord himself in his first coming, but yet he found a place, he found a family in Bethany who welcomed him. That family more than welcome him. Okay, let's put it that way. So it's in the one verse in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, it said, "Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home." Remember the background. It's God's people reject him. But now that the Lord himself found a place that welcomed him. And the family in Bethany. They welcome him not just as a guest, I think. They welcome him as a member of the family. You know, the Lord himself was at home. The Lord himself was at home there. And they are at home with the Lord himself. It's further along in that chapter. There's the word that said, "Mary, sit at the Lord's feet, listen to him." You know, here's a picture right there. Martha was very busy, okay, but Mary, he sit there. That's a hard response to the Lord himself. The Lord have a heart-to-heart fellowship with Mary. The Lord even praise her, let's say. This one thing that Mary has that you cannot take away. What that thing is, what that one thing is, heart-to-heart fellowship. So in this family, well, that the Lord himself found to be at home, heart-to-heart fellowship. But not only that, not only the happy thing though, it's in a family, you know, that's always corrections. Even in this instant recorded in Luke chapter 10, Martha complained. Martha said, "Oh, Lord, tell Mary to help me out. I'm so busy. I'm so much trouble." Martha was rebuilded, but yet no corrections in the house. So I think those are natural. Those in a family together, that would be corrections. And we find that the next time when the Bible talk about this family, there's only one. You only say, "Martha, serve." Nothing else. Martha is no longer complaining. She was corrected. And then in John, if we go fast forward to John chapter 11, verse 5, that's the chapter that the Lord himself, Lazarus was really sick, was very sick, and Lazarus died. Okay, but that's a verse there. I hope it touch our hearts. Verse 5, that's John 11, verse 5. "Now Jesus loved Martha, her sisters, and Lazarus." Out of all these families, out of I don't know how many Jewish people at that time, the Lord himself singled out this family. The family at Bethany is Martha Mary and Lazarus, and the scripture said, now Jesus loved them. You know, Jesus loved us all. Jesus' love is beautiful. But have the Bible said that the Lord Jesus loved them? There's something in Martha, something in Mary and Lazarus that really satisfy God's heart, the Lord's heart. The Lord is so much feel at home in that place, and he loved his household. And then we have the story of Lazarus die, 4 days buried. It's the Lord Jesus come, really after Lazarus die. In the same chapter of John 11:25, the Lord said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Can you imagine that? The Lord was there, even though Lazarus died, right? Lazarus was buried too. But yet he said, I am the resurrection and the life. What's that mean? What's that mean to us? It's in the presence of the Lord himself, there is resurrection and there is life. And you see that picture in chapter 2, in chapter 12. He said Lazarus was there. He was there as a testimony of that life, of that testimony that our Lord himself is the resurrection. So it's now when we get to chapter 12, it's again the Lord, as I mentioned, that in the week of Passion, those last 7 days, the Lord did not stay in Jerusalem. He went to Jerusalem during the day, but he did not stay there at night. So he said in John chapter 12, said 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany. And Mary did something special. Remember in previous chapter we said Mary sit at the Lord's feet, hear every word. Mary is so devoted to the Lord himself. It's he hear every word from the Lord. You know, his disciples was with the Lord all the time. The Lord spoke to them about crucifixion, about laying down their life. They hear it, but yet they don't hear it. They don't hear it. But he has a sister in this family who's so devoted to the Lord himself. She heard it. It's she wanted to do something for the Lord. And there's something from the heart that the perfume, the most expensive perfume, that is safe, I think it's according to Jewish tradition, she saved it for her wedding days. The most expensive perfume, she took that out and poured that on the feet of Jesus. So now you see that in that family, there is devotion. Holy, not it's everything, entirely, okay. Devoted to the Lord himself, that's Mary. That's heaven. That's why Jesus found his home there. And that's why they are at home with Jesus. And we can see that even at the end of this story, that the Lord said, whenever this gospel is preached in the whole world, that this woman has done also to be spoken in memory of her. It's even on this act of pouring out all she has on the Lord himself for burial, the Lord himself was satisfied. And the Lord said, wherever you share the gospel, remember, tell the story of Mary, how he devoted to me. So that's the heart of the Lord is satisfied. So we have this example of a household at that time. You can remember, it's not a perfect illustration because the Spirit haven't come yet. But yet, there is the household. That's an example of a house, of a home that the Lord himself to be at home. The Lord is at home there, and they are at home with the Lord Jesus. What a example for us. You know, it's... So I'm running out of time, so I should conclude. It's way at the end, actually. We share that the heart of God is to be at home with his people. And we see that from beginning to the end, it's really from Genesis to Revelation. That is God's desire. His home, the home of God, with his people, that he will live among them. That's the eternal desire. So this home, we have to forget about what we might think. The home is not a structure. We all know that. But sometimes we think that the home is a structure. It's not a building. It's the Lord himself. It's Jesus Christ. And in the heart of God, he wants us to be abiding in the Lord so that he will abide in us. He wants us to be like the vine and the branches, to be together, union in life together. And that's God's eternal desire. And that should be our desire. Well, not only for the days to come, but our desire now. We always talk about we are in the last hours of this age. The Lord's coming soon. And as I mentioned, the Lord is, well, the home of God is Christ, is the Lord himself. But he longed for us to be at the same place. He longed for us to have that union with him. We know we are not there. We also heard about Revelation 3:20. I talk about that the Lord himself is outside knocking at the door. But let me finish the verse on Revelation 3:20. He's knocking. He said, whosoever opened the door, he will come in, and we will dine with him. Well, you can remember there's more than a meal together, right? It's more than just the lunch we're going to have later on. He will come in and he will dine together with him. Is that a thing about the Lord's table we had? Is that what it means on this matter of dying together? It's dying together is a life union with the Lord. I think it's just wonderful. We can see that the Lord himself, maybe he need to withdraw his presence for a time, but he loves us with that eternal, his love is eternal. He loves us with that everlasting love. His love never changed. So he might have to withdraw his presence for a while, but he's still knocking. Thank God for that. If he's not knocking, I think we'll be lost. He's knocking. In all seven epistles to Revelation, he said, he who have a ear, hear what the Holy Spirit say to the churches. Do we hear that he's knocking? Are we going to open the door and let him in so that he may dine with us? We also know that, I want to touch one point and I'm done. It's seven letters. The first letter to Ephesus. I all I'm sorry, I always have to go back to the letters. It's all the good things about the church at Ephesus, but yet the Lord said in verse 4, chapter 2, verse 4, but I have this against you. You have left the first love. You know, it's we talk about the cleansing of the church. Sometimes we say, oh, now it's we have the time of Acts, and then but it's really quickly. It's in the church of Ephesus, the people, the believer, turn to doctrines. Doctrines replace spiritual reality. Okay, and the Lord said they have left the first love, and that's really the beginnings of the cleansings. And then and when we come to the last letters, the Lord was outside. So what's the key? What's the word to Ephesus? It said, remember from where you have fallen and repent. And repent. We thank the Lord that he gave us that opportunity to repent. It's by hearing of the Holy Spirit that he will bring us back. Hear that knocking, he will bring us back. So it's I want to finish with the verses from John chapter 15, verse 9 and 10. So he said, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And at the end of that session, 17, he said, these I command you, that you love one another. You know, it's at the end of the day, it's really come back to this matter of love. Loving the Lord, loving one another. Repentance. So may it be that, Lord, that we would truly have that love, loving one another, made home in our Lord himself, in his love. And may the Lord Jesus have a people in union with him, in life and in love, a people loving one another, a people always in his presence, and a people filled with the glory of God. Lastly, a people at home with the Lord Jesus and with God. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we do want to give thanks to you for this hour. Lord, I have to confess, Lord, it's my words are so limited. Lord, it's Lord, we do want to pray. Lord, the Holy Spirit may use it to speak to our heart in a fresh way. Lord, that we may treasure what you have in your heart. Lord, on this matter of the home of God is among us, that God will live among his people. Lord, help us treasure that. That's not something for the time to, not only for something that for the time to come, but Lord, we do pray that become reality in our time on earth. Lord, open up your word to us. Lord, it's loving one another. That's your commandments. Lord, it's abiding me that I abide in you. Make home in our Lord yourself, that you may make home in us. You are the true wine and the branches, wine and branches together. Lord, we do pray, Lord, it's not only a doctrines, but it become life. Become life in our heart. Lord, enable us to return unto you and allow you to work in each one of us and work in us together so that, Lord, that you would have what you're after. Lord, that you would have a pupil that is at home with you, a pupil that have that life union with the Lord yourself. Lord, then God would have a pupil to be at home. Lord, what a marvelous sins in eternity. Lord, we pray that the eternity is now. Lord, that you will dwell among, Lord, that we may dwell among, we may dwell in you, and that become real. Lord, we do thank you for this hour, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have not given up upon your people. You're still knocking, and you want us to open the door and let you in, so you may dine with us, and we may have that fellowship. Lord, we may have that oneness, the unions in life to be restored. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.